Hello. Greetings, Moonlight citizens. This episode of Moonlight Kingdom Podcast will be covering a lot of things such as Robin Hood, King Arthur, Robin Hood 2018, and Russell Crowe's Robin Hood, as long as a bunch of crappy horror movies. So tune in and get ready to blast off in 3, 2, 1, boom.
Those two, which would you say you enjoyed more between like the Taron Egerton and the Russell Crowe?
What's his name? Say it again.
Taron Egerton.
Yeah, I like Taron Egerton.
Really? What about it?
Yeah. I don't know, it was cool. It was a bit more modern-ish, like the outfits were a bit more updated, it was a bit more slick. I don't know, it had like a sense of humor and a bit more personality to Robin Hood, you get me.
A movie with bows and arrows and set in the Middle Ages is more modern feel to it, huh?
Well, modern in terms of movie cinematics.
Yeah, I'll give you that one. I liked the Taron Egerton one too. But there was this common criticism that it was trying too hard to be Batman.
Yeah, I got that vibe as well, huh?
Yeah. I mean...
But isn't a bad thing? When you think about it, Robin Hood, like the character and the archetype of Robin Hood and Batman, they're pretty similar. You know, they both vigilante heroes that, you know, have good morals and values and want to do good by people. I mean, sure, okay, Bruce Wayne is kind of the rich, asshole capitalist in this. And Robin Hood is more of a, you know, steal from the rich, give to the poor kind of dude. So if anything, Robin Hood is kind of a better guy. But I get that people would compare them.
Yeah, big difference is Robin Hood fought in the Crusades.
I mean, true, but like, it does, like, the time period really matter?
I mean, I'm not saying the time period. I'm just saying, you know, like, the Robin Hood had, like, well, they were, like, knights and shit, so in a way, he had, like, military service. Like,
okay,
you know,
true.
Fought for his country and all that.
I actually don't like the Crusades and what they did to people.
Neither do I, but still.
Yeah. It's suckish when you read about all of that, because then you realize there's literally like ethnic groups of people that are missing because they were genocided by these Crusaders, and I say that in quotation marks.
Uh-huh. Pretty big deal.
All in the name of Jesus.
In the name of the King.
And Jesus.
Well, to be fair, it was really more in the name of the King, because back then people were of the impression that the King was like the chosen by God. You know, he was more, you know, holy than the Pope.
True. Yeah.
I really enjoyed the Taron Egerton one more than the Russell Crowe one, because that was... Oh, okay, to give some backstory, the one with Russell Crowe wasn't supposed to be a Robin Hood movie. Funny enough, it was supposed to be like a drastic reimagining where the Sheriff of Nottingham was the good guy and Robin Hood was the villain. But Russell Crowe was like, I'm not fucking doing that. I don't want to be the fucking bad guy. So they changed the script and they made it just another origin story.
I like how he just had his own ways with the movie.
I mean, if you had the power to do that, you tell me you wouldn't?
I mean, he is Russell Crowe.
That's right. So. Russell Crowe, star of Gladiator and Lord knows what else. I mean, I'm sure he's done other shit, but I can't remember it right now. It's not really sticking. He was in LA Confidential. He was good in that too. I mean, that was a solid movie. Yeah. But
yeah, he was in a lot of things. He was in, yeah, as you said, he was in Gladiator. We all love Gladiator. And Les Miserables and Noah, and even, I watched this movie recently, The Pope's Exorcist. You watch it?
I've heard about it, yeah. I love this. Yeah, there's this one scene.
Honest, it was funny for a horror movie.
Yeah.
Because, I laughed more than I was scared.
It was funny watching chubby old Russell Crowe ride around on a scooter.
Yeah, and the way he just interacted with the demon, he was so unfazed. He was laughing, he was joking.
Yeah, I remember seeing this clip where they were like, the demon's like, I am your worst nightmare. And then he just responded, my nightmare is France winning the World Cup. Just so unfazed by this shit.
Exactly.
But
it started a trend though. Because after that movie came out, The Nun 2 came out, and The Nun 2 was also kind of funny.
Yeah, Sky's bumps.
Yeah, especially when that bull creature, that bull demon came.
Okay, that was absurd, man. There's so many things.
That was so stupid and so unrelated, the way I laughed. I was like, what does this have to do with the storyline? Where does it come from? This was so unnecessary. But honestly, I don't know. Maybe they're trying to make horror movies more relatable to the younger kids or something.
Maybe.
Maybe they just want to change their R rating.
Maybe.
But I remember that, when the Conjuring movie came out, they had to they had to change a lot in, some scenes and those kinds of things, because, then, no one would come to see it, because, it was super scary.
Maybe, but, I was saying, there was a scene in Pope's Exorcist where, the kid gets possessed, he's beginning to get possessed. And and he's talking to the mother, and his voice starts to change, and right at that point, because up until now this kid hasn't said anything. He hasn't said anything since his dad died. And then just out of nowhere the demon possesses him and he starts talking, and the first thing he does, he grabs himself some titty, and he's like, you never breastfed me, mommy. Baby's hungry, you fat
cow. That was so crude. Oh my god, I was so shocked. I don't know what they were thinking when they were making that movie, but I don't know. That person had brain fuse. They went all out with that script.
Thing is, when a demon possesses somebody, it knows intimate things about them, and will use that against the person's family members and whatnot. That's typical of a possession movie. But I just think it's fucking hilarious that this demon, emerges, and the first thing he's reaching for is hey, give me those titties, baby.
Very funny, huh?
Oh, that's so weird. It was so weird, man, because it's this adult voice coming out of this little boy. What the hell? Oh, Jesus. A part of me was I know he's possessed, but a part of me was thinking, is this something he genuinely thinks about? Damn. My mother never breastfed me,
Obviously, it's the demon possessing. Boy, that thing, these things.
I know that, but that thought had to come from somewhere. That means at one point this kid did think about the fact that his mother never breastfed him,
Yeah, sure.
Damn. That got a laugh out of me. So many things in that movie got a laugh out of me.
It was a good movie though, overall. But I think it should have been rated a comedy, a horror comedy. I think it's the first good one, the first mainstream part of the comedy, because yes, they are horror movies that are but funny, but they like B-rated and stuff, and they don't make a list. So maybe this is like the debut of a new category.
Unlikely, but okay.
Did you watch the new Insidious?
No. I haven't seen any of
it. I watched 10 minutes of it. I'm telling you right now, I watched 10 minutes of it, and it was so boring, I had to put it off. It was so boring, Neto. And you know, like, the Insidious movies were a category of its own. You know, I like that Ed Warren was it, but the actor who Ed Warren. And like, okay, the first Insidious was eh, but the second one was pretty good. But I don't know, this one was just, I don't know what they were doing with, like, the story. Sometimes the story just needs to end. It was so unnecessary.
That's the one with that red-faced demon.
Yeah.
Oh, I didn't watch it. I didn't watch any of those movies. Just, I don't know, man. I don't like them slow burn horror stories, man.
I see, I see. That is kind of a slow burn now that you mention it. I don't know. But you know, honestly, The Conjuring is one of my comfort movies. Like, I'll have days where I just want to watch it for some reason.
I get you. Yeah, I don't particularly enjoy slow burn horror movies where it's like the scary thing, the scariness is in the vibes. Like, no, that's not a horror movie. That's, I don't know what the hell that is, but it's not a horror movie. Like, the scary part of it shouldn't just be the vibes. There should be something. There should be something in there that's actually scary. You know, like, I don't know.
You know which one is also kind of like that? Like, it's vibes only. And you don't really get to see, like the actual horror part of it.
What?
The Blair Witch Project.
Yeah, but that's done in a unique way. It's like found footage, you know? It, like.
True, true.
Besides,
did you know at the end that they actually had somebody cast as the witch, but then like the camera fell and it didn't end up catching the witch, but they said it looked scarier, not knowing what was controlling the dude.
It does, yeah.
So they kept it.
The sequel sort of lost the point when they were just a regular movie. They ditched the whole first-person view thing and just made a regular film.
All footage is a good. It's a unique experience. It's a unique movie experience. They should actually do more.
No. There was so many fucking. Look at Paranormal Activity. Look how ass that series became. Like, dude.
It did, huh? Especially when they started doing. I think it was Ghost Dimension. That's when it all fell down.
That one freaking.
Oh, but like Paranormal Activity is scary because it's like it's like watching a reality show. You know what I mean? And you can't really see anything. I mean, of course, you see the possessed people at the end, but you know you can't see anything. You just see these movements and you know these things happening to the people. But yeah, that series, but just I don't know. It's gone to the dogs. I wouldn't watch a Paranormal Activity movie past Ghost Dimension.
Yeah. You know, it's a style of movie genre that really has been so done to death. I'm sick of it every time I see it. The one where the whole movie takes place in like a Zoom call. Like, you know those movies, you know, like.
Oh, I know. It's like Friended and that one that came out during COVID.
I think it was called like Searching or some shit. Like, the whole movie is just one big Zoom call. Like, no.
And these things are happening to these people on, like, the Zoom call. Like, I don't know. It's stupid.
I feel like also, they do that because they really want to be cheap.
People's home situations are just so unrealistic.
Yeah. But it's cheap, so, I mean, you don't have to worry about, like, staging or lighting or you just have to film everybody in a bunch of isolated rooms.
But you know, like, what's funny, you know. There was this one, I'm not sure what it's called, I think, I don't know, it was something about the web, and scientists actually voted it the most scary movie of 2022, I think. and it was one of those on a Zoom call, and I watched it. It wasn't that scary. Like, I can name 100 other scarier movies than that.
Yeah. I think it was called Dark Web.
Or something like that.
Yeah, something like that.
I also like horror movies that are based in Japan, because those movies are just so scary.
Well, they have a different definition to, like, what most people in mainstream countries find scary. So, yeah, it's different kind of...
Grudge. And I know
strokes.
There's a Japanese version of the Grudge as well, which I'll never ever attempt to, like, watch.
You mean the original version of the Grudge? Scary.
But the Grudge was pretty scary.
All I remember seeing is, like, when the chick is showering and she's washing her hair and then the fucking hand comes out of there. She's like, no. This, like,
yeah, that movie freaks me out every time I watch it.
That movie, the people in that movie are stupid. This, the premise is this. Anybody who goes into this house gets cursed. It's like, all you gotta do to avoid being cursed is not go in that house. No one who goes into that house has a valid reason to go in that house. But they go in anyway.
Yeah. I wonder why.
I don't know. I
guess it's the
same. I get that, you know, horror movies have to have dumb characters in them. Otherwise, the movie doesn't happen. But, like, there's limits, man. There's like, in Evil Dead... When the guy unleashes the army of deadites because he read from the book, it sounds like something, you know, oh, how could he have known? You know, he read from a book. How could he have known it was cursed? This is no ordinary book. This is a book written in blood with a cover made of human skin that was wrapped in barbed wire. You understand?
That's kind of a dumb.
There is no fucking way you can sit there and be like, I didn't know that the book was cut. The cover's made of skin. Like, dude, you can't be like, I didn't know the book was cursed. I didn't know I wasn't supposed to read it. Like, it's wrapped in freaking barbed wire. What do you want? A sign that says, do not read? Fun fact, the very first page, written in human blood, legit says, do not read. Like, Jesus, man.
That's stupid, man.
That was stupid.
I would not survive in a horror movie. Like, more so my character development would not survive. Because as soon as something happens, I'm out of there. Finish. If somebody is messing around with some book, I'm going to say, you do what you want, I'm doing. Goodbye.
I don't think I'd do so good in a possession movie. I would leave immediately. Like, if I come into the room and I see someone standing in the corner in the dark and I, like, call them and they don't turn around, I'm not going over there to be like, do you know that thing? They just stand in the corner, totally in the dark. You call them and they don't respond. The person in the movie always goes over there and tries to make them turn around, and they turn around and they're like, I'll be like, no, I'm not doing that. I'm going to stay by the door. I'm going to say your name, and if you don't turn around, I'm leaving. Like, nah, I'm not even going to tell anybody. I'm just going to leave. Like, you know, I'll be halfway out the door and be like, oh, by the way, so-and-so's acting weird.
You know what's funny? I remember when the first Nun came out, right? We went to the cinema to watch it, me and some friends. And, you know, I come from a Muslim household, and you know, like, the things that the woman used to pray. I remember that the first night my granny was walking around with a burqa, the way I screamed when I saw her. Not even funny. I was so scared. Because that looks like the Nun right there.
Sounds kind of funny. I mean, just... I'm describing that shit, but like... of all the... Like, horror movies definitely do have their moments, their definite plus sides to them, but like, man, there was one, this one horror movie, it didn't have like any monsters or, I mean, it kind of, it depends on your definition of the word monster, but there was this movie that Russell Crowe did. It wasn't Pope's Exorcist. It was, you know, the one where he's like, oh, it's called Unhinged. It's about this dude. It's about this woman who, like, cuts off this guy in traffic. I don't know, she's rude to him. And, like, he is, like, really unhinged. And he, like, road rages on her. And it sounds ridiculous, but, like, he's, like, generally terrifying. Because, like, the tagline is, like, he can happen to anybody. Because if you think about it, road rage really can just happen to anybody. It can come from anywhere. It's really terrifying because this dude is just a dude, but he's a freaking, when you get like a pissed off and determined man behind the wheel, he becomes like a fucking wrecking ball. It's just, yeah, it's really like menacing and shit. It was so menacing. I remember I watched it with my mom and this movie was so menacing. Like, and I could tell it got through to her because like we were driving home. And, like, she was just coming across this... We were going in this intersection, and this dude cut us off. And she was about to, like honk the horn and read this dude the riot act. But she, like, stopped. And, like, just, like, nah. So you could tell she, like wait a minute. Nope.
Yeah. She was a bit traumatized. She was like, hey, let me not risk it.
Yeah, like, because, really? From your perspective, like, you don't know who's in that car. You don't know who that other guy is. I mean, he could be a psycho for all you know. So it's like, you know what?
Road rangers are crazy. They do crazy things. And especially at night, you know, if you're driving, they'll take more chances because, you know.
Well, it's at night.
I think no one's around. But,
yeah. Speaking of Russell Crowe, this Robin Hood movie he was in, it takes itself way, way too seriously, man. Like it's all.
Russell Crowe has Robin Hood.
Yeah, he was Robin Hood. Just, I didn't like it, you know.
He's not the right person. Let's be honest.
Yeah.
He went with an idea, ran with it, and it just wasn't the best idea.
He's not an Archer type dude. Like, if you were to look at him, you wouldn't look at him and think, yeah, this dude definitely rocks a bow and arrow. Like,
you need to be quick. He's more of like the sword guy, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah, definitely. Like, if I had to build him in Elden Ring or something, he'd be like a strength.
Or have a like those big hammers, you know?
Yeah. Or an axe.
Yeah, one of those, but he's not an archer, man.
Yeah, and he's not even Robin Hood in this movie. I mean, he becomes Robin Hood, but he's not Robin of Locksley. He's a guy named Robert. He's Robert Longstrife, and he was serving under the king's army. Then the king dies, and he deserts. So he's not like a knight or anything. He's just a deserter who comes across Robin of Locksley as he's dying, and you know, Robin is like, you know, take the king is dead, you gotta take his crown back to his people so they can anoint the new king, and like, take my family sword back to my family home. And he's like, yeah, I'll do it, no problem, man. Like, he does this not because it's the right thing to do, but it's like, okay, guys, I have a plan. We're gonna take these guys' identities. You know, we're going to be them. We're going to go back to fucking England, hand off this crown, and we're going to be hailed as fucking heroes. We're the guys who brought home, like, the king's crown. You know, like, we're just going to pretend to be these dudes. This dude isn't Robin of Locksley. He's just some dude. Like, he's a thief, man. Like, it's very... You can tell from this story that he was supposed to be the villain because this sounds kind of villainous, man. Like, you just straight up stole a guy's life here.
I mean, true. It's a stupid movie. That's what I think.
Yeah. It is. I disagree. I mean, I agree that it's a stupid movie, you know? Like, I just,
Maybe they had an idea, and I don't know, they should have done better with it. They were just I don't know, maybe it was that time constraints or something. They were working under pressure. But it's a movie that shouldn't have come out. And obviously the next Robin Hood was much better. It was more canon, if you will. It followed, you know, the classic tale of Robin Hood to his outfit, you know?
Yeah, he actually had a fucking hood. That's a huge bonus.
Yeah, exactly. How can you be Robin Hood without a hood?
Like, how do you mess that part up? Like, you look at Russell Crowe on the poster, it's just him with the bow. No hood, no outfit, just him pointing the bow right into the camera. Like,
that's stupid. How are you going to know it's Robin Hood? Like, when we look at the poster that Karen was in, you know it's Robin Hood.
Yeah. You can see the hood, the bow, and, like, it's green! For God's sake, it's a green hoodie. Who else could it be, man? Like, I mean, it's not Green Arrow. You can't, like, argue Green Arrow because it's, like, 1800s or whatever, but still, you know, like, still, you can clearly be like, oh yeah, that's Robin Hood. Like, you could take the name off and you could still see that is Robin Hood. Yeah.
Hero members, you know, the Justice League members, he's like the least interesting.
Why you say that?
I'm just saying, okay. His sidekicks that come after him, like Speedy and Artemis, I paid attention to them. But not him.
Yeah. It's definitely the case where, like, the wacky sidekick was more interesting than, like, the stern hero.
And Speedy was kind of funny and cool, so.
Until he lost his arm.
And you know, went all crap. Deserted.
I mean, didn't he kind of had, like, the Red Hood treatment in a way when he became Arsenal, so, like, it fits.
Yeah, but, like, if I got the name Speedy, I'd also be upset and might do some crazy things, eh?
But, like, to become a junkie, I mean, like, that's a pretty big leap. I mean, that was, like, a whole thing, you know, like, that was a big deal, not just for the story, but, like, for comics in general, because it was to show, like, oh, hey, comics aren't just for kids anymore, like, we tackle serious issues like drug use, yeah. You know, like...
But comics have never, ever been kids. I don't know why their parents one day decided that this was, you know, child-friendly, because it isn't. It's like, you know, when you go to, like, the malls and stuff in the shops, and you see back-to-school things, and it's usually just superheroes on bags and stuff, and you think to yourself that, you know, comics were never meant for children. Because we've read those things, you know? We know. We know what Spider-Man was up to. We know what Batman was up to. I don't know. It's just weird. I guess they are always going to do something and continue to do something as long as it makes money. But it's just stupid.
Yeah. There's plenty of weird things going on back in the day.
Cartoonish or anime-ish doesn't mean it's kids. Like, look at, like, I don't know, Boondocks and those kinds of things. Even South Park. Just because it's animated doesn't definitely, with those shows, mean it's for kids.
Mm. Definitely. There's definite points to be made there.
I was actually watching the Boondocks yesterday. It's a valid show. They, you know, they're gonna make a continuation. They're thinking about it.
That's when they're not older. Gonna happen.
And I saw, like, this fan art post of it, and I was like, because okay, Riley having gold teeth and decked out in jewelry and gold, it makes sense, you know.
Oh, see.
But Huey having gold teeth and being all gangster, it doesn't make sense because that was never his character. You know what I mean? He was always an anti-capitalist, communist kind of guy, you know? He was for the people.
No, I don't see him becoming a politician or anything like that.
Obviously obviously not. I see him more as being like a freedom fighter, an activist, going against the man, if you will.
That would be an interesting turn of events, but where are we going with this? Oh, yeah. So, like, Robin Hood and shit. The comparisons between Robin Hood and Batman aren't lost on me, especially with the movie Batman Begins. You know, dude starts out in a life of poverty, but, like, he goes away for a while, and he comes back with a new outlook and this new set of skills that he wants to use to change life for himself and the people around him. And that's basically both those stories, you know, like, they play out largely the same. And even by the end, they both have, like, a former ally turned enemy who's, like, burned half of his face, so.
True. But, like, yeah, they both follow the same character archetype, and I don't know, I think it's a fair comparison to compare Robin Hood and Batman.
Yeah. I can see that.
Huh. You know, Robin Hood is about taking into consideration the common man, and both Batman and Robin Hood are common men that came from romantic backgrounds and backgrounds that were riddled with crime and reflective of the socioeconomic issues of the place that they were currently living in life, you know. And yeah, I think that's very similar between them. Because, you know, because of the gangs and things, because, you know, Batman's parents was killed by criminals. Robin Hood came from criminals. You know, it's a similar vibe. But, you know, they rose above it, and now they fighting for the people.
Yeah, there's definitely those similarities between them. And they both have, like, even in Batman Begins, I think, like, a while back I made the comparison that Batman and Zorro are pretty much, like, Batman is basically just stealing his shtick from Zorro, because they both have moments where they're, like, you know, pretending to be these rich aristocrats sitting at a party talking about their respective alter egos. Like Zorro was asked, like, what do you think about, like, this masked, you know, bandit? He was like, oh, anybody who's got to, like, wear a mask like that, you know, like, he's probably wearing it to hide his ugly face. And everyone laughs. And then Batman Begins, they ask Bruce, like, what do you think about the Batman? And he's like, well, you know, any guy who goes out dressed as a bat, you know, like, he's got to be nuts, you know, like, just, this is the same shit. Like, oh, man.
And, let me think about it. Outfit is a bit extra. Like, I mean, it's green, it's hooded. He's like, it's a, what's the word? It's a recognizable costume. Even though they don't know who's in that costume, they know it's Robin Hood. So they have that bit of flair about them, you know, while they do want to remain incognito and be this, you know, this vigilante, you know, fighting crime in the dark of the night. They kind of shoot themselves in their own foot, in a way. Because, like, it's Batman, you know? It's a bat. You know who it is when he's beating you up as a criminal, you know?
Yeah. With, shoot. Yeah, in regards to, like, you know, the Robin Hood film, the definite comparisons between that and Batman Begins. I enjoy that movie, one of the reasons, because it's actually more fun, you know, it's, it's more enjoyable, you know, like, it doesn't take itself as seriously, though it does have its moments of seriousness to it. Huh?
I mean, obviously, Robin Hood is sending out a great message that, you know, in life, and in our society in general, that classism has always existed for centuries, and it affects people by there being people who hoard well who are greedy, who don't care about the common folk. And obviously there's the common folk who are struggling every single day to survive, to provide for their families. And I think that's very relevant of today. So obviously it has serious moments, but I think that they gave a bit more personality to Robin Hood by humanizing him. He has a, you know, he has a little bit of humor, he has a little bit of, I don't know, boyish charm to him. And I think that's fun and cool.
Yeah, there's definite, you know, it's a solid point to it, because I appreciate the fact that it has, like, Robin Hood as Robin of Locksley from the jump. Like, he was just a dude, like a regular Lord of the Manor who got drafted into, like, the Crusades. And it makes sure to point out that unlike friggin' Russell Crowe's Robin Hood, he was against the damn thing from the jump. He didn't want to be in the Crusades, but he got drafted.
Yeah, exactly. I think that's important because, you know, Robin Hood is a symbol of freedom, of resistance at the end of the day. And it's kind of counterproductive to, you know, make Robin Hood actually support this kind of stuff.
Yeah, because, you know, he's supposed to be the good guy. We can't have the good guy supporting what can be misconstrued as, you know, villainy. Yeah. What's the thing? Plus, in the Russell Crowe movie, he only decides to desert once the freaking, you know, like, oh, the king is dead? Like, oh, we can leave then. You know, like, it's not like I object to all this senseless violence. I'm gonna leave in disgust, you know?
He took advantage of the circumstances, you know?
Yeah.
It was more of a, it is what it is, and I'm gonna adapt to it.
Yeah.
I don't know, and that's why I say Russell Crowe's Robin Hood just wasn't a good representation of Robin Hood at all. I don't know what they were trying to do with that movie. I think an origin story would have been good, but they did, you know, cover an origin story in the next Robin Hood, because they showed him, you know, he was drafted, he didn't want to be in it, and he saw the people struggling, he saw what he was a part of and what he did to the people, and he did something about it. You know, it covers a whole lot of bases. It covers origin, it covers actual character development, it shows what he stands for, why he becomes a symbol. It's a good movie.
Yeah, it definitely was, you know, and if there was ever going to be, like, a Robin Hood movie to make a franchise out of, like, that would have been it. But, like, some of the plans they had were ridiculous. Like, you can't plan an entire franchise when the first movie hasn't even come out yet. You know, like, you can't be like, oh yeah, we got a whole trilogy planned, the release date for the second one is in 3 years, and the one after that is, like, you know, 2 years later, plus there's gonna be a Robin Hood 2099. Like, dude, the first movie hasn't even come out yet. Like, you haven't even done that, and you got this whole Robin Hood shared universe already planned out with, like, that has never worked out. Except for Marvel. But even they didn't, you know. I'm saying, like, but even Marvel didn't, you know, plan everything off from the jump. Their thing in the beginning was, let's make this, like, quality movie. Movie does well. Okay, let's make the next quality movie. And then the next.
I mean,
you know,
but sometimes, you know, yeah, I think they just got too much self-confidence, and now they're coming out for things like Madam Web, and think it's going to be, you know, this next blockbuster bestseller, and I don't know, I think maybe the power has just gone to their head, because they have so many successful movies.
Yeah, that's
most... You watch Madam Web?
Not yet, but I have every intention to, man. It's very much the first movie of the year where I'm like, okay, let's go see this train wreck.
And a train wreck it was, let me tell you.
Yeah. It's
again, they did the origin story thing, but it just stopped there. Not to mention Dakota Johnson. and the interviews and her attitude during those interviews, it was just, I get that maybe you're doing it to add another star to your list as an actor, you know, to your accolades, the things you've been in. But regardless of whether you're a fan of the franchise of Marvel or the comic, I think as an actor and as, you know, as a member of this big project that you're in, you need to show a bit more enthusiasm about it, you know, hype it up, show support to work with it, get the people, you know, excited about it. And she just never do that, huh?
I mean, I wasn't excited to see it based on those interviews and stuff. It was just, oh, Madam Web's coming, huh? I'm going to see it because I know it's going to be bad. Like, it's just, it's one of those movies, like, you know, out the gate, oh, this isn't going to work. But it's going to be hilarious to watch.
And hilarious it was. I don't know what they were thinking with that one, eh? They were just having a moment.
Yeah.
What? I don't know, I think maybe because of the success of, you know, Spider-Man into the Spider-Verse and across the Spider-Verse, I feel like they're getting into Spider-Man a bit more now. And, I don't know, it's just different. You can't just make a Madam Web. And, okay, yes, you have these characters that are, you know, are potential spider people in their own respective universes. But, like, I don't know, you just can't do it, man. Spider-Verse is, like, it's in a category of its own. We don't even consider that Marvel at this point. You know what I mean? Do you even connect across the Spider-Verse or into the Spider-Verse to the rest of the Marvel movies?
No.
I really don't. When I watch it, it's like in a, it's in, you know, it's something else, completely different.
Well, yeah, Across the Spider-Verse is its own thing because it has its own designations for, like, the Marvel Universe, because in the MCU, they say it's Earth 616, but in the, what's this, Across the Spider-Verse, it's referred to as Earth 19999.
Yeah, I get you, but what I mean is more as association in terms of, like, the brand as a whole. Like, yes, I know it is MCU, but it just doesn't give MCU. If anything, it gives me the classic MCU feeling of Tobey Maguire's Spider-Man. You get me?
Yeah.
Yeah, instead of, like, Tom Holland's Spider-Man. Because I'm not really there for Tom Holland. I watched the first Spider-Man of his, and that's it.
You only saw Spider-Man 1 back from, like, what's this, 2002?
No, I'm talking about Tom Holland.
Oh, okay.
He's made 3 movies so far, and I only watched the first Spider-Man where he acted in it. Obviously, Tobey Maguire was there with all of them.
That was No Way Home.
Yeah, those kinds of things. Yeah, No Way Home and stuff like that. I didn't watch those things. It's just disappointing. Did you watch it?
Yeah, I liked Spider-Man No Way Home. It had Tobey Maguire, Andrew Garfield, Green Goblin. You know,
Yeah, I heard about that. And I was thinking maybe I should watch it just for them.
Mm.
Because I don't like Tom Holland, I'm going to be honest with you. But also, I want to see, like, okay, Andrew Garfield played a good Spider-Man, I'm not going to lie. Was it the best? Obviously not. Maybe we a bit biased because we grew up with Tobey Maguire. But I don't know. Often they just cost Tom Holland, they just got bad.
Oh, juries. Out on that, the interview with the internet would greatly disagree with you. Although a large portion of it would greatly agree with you because... And this has nothing to do with Tom Holland, well, as Spider-Man. It has more to do with, like, his roles since he was last Spider-Man. Remember that old controversy with the crowded room?
Okay, true.
I still say people got all bent out of shape over nothing. That scene wasn't even... I mean, nothing happened. I mean, I saw it, and I'm like, really?
people are all mad because of this? Gruen this hashtag not my Spider-Man crap over this? Why? I mean, if we had seen like some ass or something, I could get it. Like, oh, we actually saw like dude getting it on, but we just saw like from the waist up, you know, it was nothing. Like, it was a PG sex scene, man. Like,
you know, I was actually reading the other day, because you know how explicit movies were in the 70s and the 80s. It was very much, what's the word? Like, they didn't care about censorship. Like, they used to show you everything. And then,
okay, that's not, I would be remiss if I just let that slide. That's not entirely what happened. It wasn't a case of, oh, we don't care about censorship anymore. It's more a case of censorship has relaxed to such a degree nowadays. People are more willing to accept the, you know, a different kind of movie, that we can now go ham bone on and make the kind of movies we weren't allowed to make because of censorship and whatnot. So, yeah, that's why, you know, you look at the movies back in the day and you see like, oh, there's a lot more tits and ass than normal. There's a lot more raunchy scenes and so on. You know, there's way more of that. Not just because, people don't care anymore. Let's go all in. You know, like, no, it's because, well, standards and practices changed. And, you know, the critics and all that started to be more open to different kinds of films. And, that was that it. Back to the show.
All of a sudden, in the early 2000s, there was this giant censorship of nudity and nakedness and sex in general. And I think that people are just going overboard these days. Like, it's just people kissing now. Calm down. Just be honest with yourself and say it's homophobia.
Wasn't much of a thing, though. Weirdly enough, circling back to, like, the Robin Hood thing, you know, like, the canned sequels, apparently there were plans to do, like, an Avengers-style franchise with Robin Hood movies. Like, there would be, I don't know how you're gonna have, like, an Avengers-style Robin Hood universe out of fucking Robin Hood. Yeah. Like,
Robin Hood is a story, but it's also a standalone story.
Exactly. You know, like,
keep it to that one
thing. Yeah, it's just Robin Hood beefing with the sheriff, you know, because he's hiking up taxes and shit. Like, you can't stretch that into a universe.
Robin Hood? Of today, you know, they brought in current issues that people are going through, current socioeconomic issues, current cultural issues in terms of racism, homophobia, those kinds of things, and they made a modern day Robin Hood. That would actually be cool.
You think that, huh?
I don't know, well.
I'm curious, this is your personal theory? That if they made a modern-day Robin Hood, it would actually be really cool.
Well, maybe you can use a gun instead of a bow and arrow.
Is that your personal theory? Because, no pun intended, I can shoot holes in it.
Okay, fire away. Let's hear it.
You made mention of the idea that, well, if they had a Robin Hood in the present day, tackling present day problems, it could totally work. You know, like, it would be great and all that, right? Because apparently you're of the opinion the biggest issue Robin Hood has is that it's set in the past and all that, huh? It's not up to date with modern whatevers. Well, with the image I just sent you just now, I'd like you to take a look at it.
Oh, my. It looks cool, though.
Really?
Okay. Why are there five of them? And why are they all wearing animal masks? Where are the bows? I think those are arrows, I'm not sure. But, I don't like that. Never mind. This concept is bad.
Hey, but you said, oh, we just need to bring the story into the present day, you know?
I'm talking about my modern-day version of Robin Hood. I'm talking about the one in my head, not whatever nonsense this is. Okay? this is something else. I was thinking more of a, I don't know, like a red hood kind of situation. Like, you know?
Red hood.
Like that kind of stuff.
Red hood uses guns.
Yeah, so why can't Robin Hood use the guns? Obviously, he used a bow and arrow back in them days, because gunpowder probably wasn't invented yet. But I think the modern day Robin Hood would probably use guns instead of a bow and arrow, and he could wear a little hood, and he could like carry his sniper rifle or whatever, and that would be cool. He could be taking down corrupt politicians one at a time.
That your Sorry, personal theory? Because I can shoot holes in it.
Okay, sure.
Look again. I just sent you something else.
Okay. What about this?
You see it?
Yes, I'm seeing it.
There's the hood. There's the, you know, the bow, the modern day bow and arrow. And this is clearly a story set in the modern day as per the city skyline and everything. Everything you would ask for. And what say you?
It looks cool-ish.
Ish. It's everything you described. And you're like, eh, it looks cool-ish.
Just... Well, I was thinking Robin Hood would be more of a dude. But, you know, a female Robin Hood.
That's
a
sexist view of it.
It's not sexist, okay? I'm sticking to tradition. Okay? There's no reason to... I hate when people take characters and try to force diversity on them instead of creating our own characters. You get what I'm trying to say?
So you're saying that all the characters that were originally men should stay men? This Robin Hood, this female, isn't actually a good Robin Hood solely because she's female? So sexist.
Saying that she can't... A Robin Hood... And, like, she can be her own character. Like, how Optimus comes from Green Arrow, but she's also her own character. She's not, like, you're not trying to, like, I don't know, impose something on her or some kind of gender-bent idea on her.
I mean, the idea of a female Robin Hood, I'm not entirely against. I think it's a good idea. You know, the one we're looking at here, you know, Robin
there's, you know, this female arrow users in both universes, as I said, Optimus and Hawkeye in MCU. Well, the female Hawkeye, anyway. Yeah, I think it is a good idea, but if you're going to go Robin Hood, then stick with Robin Hood. I like the outfits a bit, but I don't know. I feel like it could be a bit modern.
It is modern. What the?
I think, I'm just saying, like, look at the image, right? It's raining, it's thundering, she's in a crop top. Maybe put it in a jacket, you know?
Oh, you mean like the five hoods up there with the funky neon masks?
Yeah, you see, she's wearing the hood, but then her arms are gonna get wet.
That is not a... Oh, yeah. Yeah, she, like, The present-day Robin Hood, the more accurate one, down below, that's definitely... Yes, she is wearing the proper hood. The chick above is just in a mask.
Yeah, exactly. You know? Maybe combine the two. Let her wear a nice jacket that covers her and protects her from the elements, and add a hood.
Well...
No reason.
Yeah. Well, I'm gonna let you go... And do your fast, but before you do, I must ask you one thing. Who do you say would win in a fight, Robin Hood or King Arthur?
Robin Hood. People hype King Arthur so much, but it's only because of what Merlin said, to be honest. Just because you pulled a sword out of rock doesn't mean you're anything special. Robin Hood has skills, okay? He can fight, he can... You know, he can sneak around, he's got those assassin skills, he can use a bow and arrow. And you know, he comes from a rugged background. He got some street smarts, he knows what he's doing. So I think Robin Hood would win against King Arthur in 100 times over.
It's not just a random sword out of the rock. It's a sword of legend that only he who is worthy may wield.
Robin is also a worthy person. I feel like if he, you know, attempted that sword pull, he might make a batch of it. He's a noble guy that's doing noble deeds. If anything, he's doing a few more noble deeds than King Arthur ever did.
Not if we're talking about the Russell Crowe version. I mean, just saying.
Let's not even consider him Robin Hood. He's more of a fractured fairy tale of Robin Hood, if you will.
Robin in name only. I guess we'll throw him in the pile with, what's this, DMC Dante.
Yeah, but I love Dante, hey?
No, not the one with the white hair. I mean the one with the black hair from that remake back in the day.
Oh, okay. I thought you were talking about the white hair one on
Dante. No, that's why I said DMC Dante, not Devil May Cry.
I never heard that.
Okay.
Okay.
You saw the trailer for The Crow?
Yeah.
And?
I'm not gonna lie, I'm excited to see it because I do like Wolf Gargant. And not to say that he's bad looking or anything, I think it's a newer representation of The Crow. It's also a bit more canon in terms of the comic. I think he's a bit more of a rugged gangster type of guy with his piercings and his tattoos, and I think that's good. It's you know, it's an honest representation. Maybe they kind of romanticized Brandon Lee's Crow a bit more, and they made it a bit more, you know, gothy or more gothy. But I don't know. I think it's a good take on it. I think they're still staying true to the story, and they chose a good actor. Not to say they chose any guy off the street, you know, they're like pulling a Tom Holland, if you will, you know, they're choosing a good seasoned actor that played great roles. And I think that, yeah, he'll make a good role.
I don't like his hair.
Okay, yeah, his hair is kind of bad. Maybe they should have just stuck with the long hair.
Yeah, I don't like